This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is good to see everybody here today. We have a few out, but we're glad that you are here. I've made this statement before, and I'm going to make it again, and I'm sure I'll make it some other time. I hate the devil. He has really been working in my life lately. I meant to bring it up last week, and I didn't. He's been working on me not getting lessons to you. Wednesday night, I get here, and I have about 3 hours before class that I work on my lesson. I usually get all my slides put together and know what I'm doing so I can work on it the rest of the week. And I did that last week and got the slides all done up, got home to work on it Thursday night, and this file was gone. And I tried bringing it up, and I looked around, and I have access to my folder, but I don't have access to the whole computer, and so I couldn't bring it up. So I text Steve, and he said, "I'm at work. I'll look at it when I get home." And he looked it up, and he couldn't find the file. I said, "Now I remember." He's like, "Oh, look under this file name," and he found it, and he sent it to me. He's like, "Sweet, I can do this." And then the first four slides were missing that I had created and all, and I was like, "Ah." So I had to totally redo it last week and came about. Well, this week, I've got no problems with my slides, but the devil has been, and I kept just getting distracted with everything. And I came in Wednesday and I did up all my slides, and then I looked at it Thursday, didn't really like it. And so I tossed all that to the side and did another lesson. And that's how it's been all week. And I didn't like that lesson either after I looked at it a little bit longer. And so I came up with this yesterday and I did it, but I kept getting squirreled, on a lot of things. So, I apologize for that. And I hope you like the lesson that I've come up with. It's going to be two parts. We'll be looking in 1 Corinthians, the first half this morning and the next half next week. And it's talking about unity and the body of Christ. And this isn't really necessarily a squirrel, but I do have a couple of notes that I want to hit first before we get into the lesson itself. And the first one I want to look at is in Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. This is the creation when the world, the universe, was created. And I want to pick up in verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness.'" Okay? And so we know God wasn't alone in the beginning. And we've talked about this before. And then he says, "And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So this man that they are going to make is going to be in charge of everything, okay? They're going to have power over everything. And then verse 27, "So God created man in his own image, the image of God. He created him, male and female." Created them. Only two. And today society has gotten confused on this male and female part, which I'm not going to get into, but we see here that God created two. All right? Now, I'm probably going to get in trouble with some of the nurses that are here this morning, so please don't come after me after services. But I'm doing what I found out, and I'm sorry if I bring things to you that you haven't looked at in years. But we, that male and that female that God created, were pretty much the same as us today. And yes, there are differences that make the male and make the female, but the rest of our bodies are the same. Yes, we have different heights, different hair color and everything else that makes us individual, but over, everybody that's here, the 30, 40 people that are here this morning, we are pretty much the same. And that's how God created us in his image, okay? I looked it up, and there we have 206 bones, Some of them are crushed, but you know, that's okay. We have 600 muscles, 78 organs, which I didn't realize we had that many, 2,000 taste buds on your tongue, unless you burnt some of them this morning with some hot coffee, but you're supposed to have 2,000. This was the one that got me. We have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. And of course, shorter people might have less and taller people have more, but we have 60,000 miles of blood vessels. That's a lot. And 37 trillion cells that make up that male and female. That's what makes us up, okay? Now, another thing that we have in common to a degree is that we all have different blood types, A, B, AB, and O. And then we have the pH of a negative and a positive. And those are so unique that an A positive has to have A positive blood. Okay? But you're lucky that I'm here this morning because I have O negative. Everybody can take that. Okay? She's saying she does too. So we're unique and that you could have our blood. So if something happens, let me know. I'm there for you. Okay? But I can't have yours. I can only take yours. So stick around. and so, you know, and the other thing that separates us is that little twirly ladder you see here. That's our DNA. My DNA is specific to me. Kathy doesn't have anything in my DNA. Our three girls have a combination of our DNA. Our seven grandkids have a combination of our DNA, and their children will too. And my DNA is made up of my mother and my father's DNA. My mother, from my mother, I get 48% Portuguese, the Azores, and 2% Spain. My father's side, I'd get 21% English and Northwestern European, 20% Scottish, 5% Irish, 2% Icelandic, which I just found out about that a couple of months ago, and 2% Welsh. Okay, that's me. That's where I come from. Okay, all of you, if you do your DNA, you're going to find out what your DNA ladder is made up of. That's you uniquely. But we all have DNA. But the one thing that you have that is specific to you alone are your fingerprints. Out of the billions of people in the world, nobody else has your fingerprint. It is unique to you alone. So if you ever do a crime, don't leave a fingerprint or your DNA because they've got you. You know, they can find out who you are. Starting off in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, I want us to, this morning, like I said, we're going to do the first half of 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll do the second half next week. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Okay, Paul doesn't want the Corinthians to be uninformed of spiritual gifts, which, of course, in turn, he's telling us the same thing, that he doesn't want us to be ignorant or uninformed of what spiritual gifts are, and he's going to talk about that. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Okay, remember, this is new. The Christians, the apostles, and everybody were Jews before that. And he's saying that they're pagans and that they went astray to mute idols. When I read that, mute idols, it made me think of a story that I want to share with you, and this will be the second squirrel, and then we'll get back to the lesson. In 1 Kings 18, Elijah confronts the king of Israel at that time named Ahab. At the end of chapter 16, Ahab becomes king over Israel, and he does more evil in the sight of God than all the kings prior to him, okay? And he provokes God with all of his evil doings. He erects an altar for the fake god Baal. for the Israelites to worship. Because he created this this idol that he made the Israelites bow down to, God caused a famine. It was desert. They had no rain, no moisture at all for years because of that. So God tells in chapter 18, God tells Elijah to go to King Ahab. And in verse 19, it says, "Now therefore send and gather all Israel," this is Elijah talking to Ahab, "gather to me at Mount Carmel along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." Jezebel was King Ahab's wife. And then dropping down to verse 21, "And Elijah came near to all the people and said, 'How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him.' And the people did not answer him a word." Elijah had the Baal prophets pick a bull and prepare it and the altar, and then call down fire from Baal to consume their altar. The prophets of Baal prayed and cried out from morning to noon, and nothing happened. Then drop it down to verse 27. "And at noon, Elijah mocked them," these 450 prophets, "saying, 'Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is musing, or he is relieving himself, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is asleep and must be awakened.' And they cried aloud and cut themselves with custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon him. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation. And there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention." And this is what reminded me of what Paul is talking about with the mute idols. They did all this to Baal, and he did not answer them. He did not say anything. He did not do anything. He was mute. And that is what Paul is talking about to the Christians at Corinth when he said that they had mute gods. Baal was a mute god that didn't exist, as Elijah is about to prove. Elijah took 12 stones, one representing each tribe of Israel, and he made an altar. And he put wood on there. He cut up his steer and he put it on the altar. He dug a trench around the altar. Then he took 12 large vases or jars of water and poured it all over the bull, all over the altar, to where the trench was full of water. And we know that you're not going to be able to get that lit, you know, with fire, because it's all soaked down with wet. It's all water. Elijah prays to God. And God sends down fire and engulfs the whole altar and destroys it. All the water in the trench is burnt up. God answered his prayers. God showed that he was the true God. And the Israelites turned back to God. Then Elijah took those 450 prophets down to the river and killed all of them. Going back to 1 Corinthians, verse 12. Again, they were led astray to mute idols. Verse 3. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit." Okay? Christians are never going to say that Jesus is accursed. If a Christian does say that, they're not being a Christian, are they? Okay? But a Christian will say that Jesus is Lord. Verse 4. "Now there are varieties of gifts." He said he was going to explain it. "There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. We have talked about the Trinity. God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Okay? Paul is mentioning those three here. The same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God. But they are giving different gifts to us. We are getting different services, things that we can do, and different activities. Are they the same? No. They are different. I know how to cross-stitch. I taught myself, or Kathy taught me when we were in Iceland, I didn't have anything else to do. I learned how to cross-stitch. Kay brought in this morning this wolf head that she had made. There's no way I could do that. Kathy made a king-size blanket for our bed. I couldn't do that. I don't know how to. We all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have different things that we can do better than others. And that's how God made us. We are the same physically for the most part, but we have different things that we can do. When Kathy and I headed up the preteen group out in the valley, I could get things going, I could get, you know, and all that, but there was a lady there, Bev, who was great at, oh, let's do this, let's do that, you know, she could make activities and she could plan them and she could call ahead and get things going and all that I couldn't do, you know. And so that's what we need to look at, is dive into ourselves and find out what we are good at, the gifts and the services and activities that we have been blessed with, and make sure that we are using those to the fullest for God. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Manifestation is an event, an action, or object that clearly shows or embodies something. We have been given the Spirit for the common good. For the common good of Christ's body here at Colbert. For the common good of the body here in Spokane. And we, need to make sure that we are letting the manifestation of the Spirit through the things that God has blessed us with, and that we are using those to the fullest. Verses 8 and 9. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Again, the same Spirit is blessing us, but notice, we all don't have wisdom, we all don't have knowledge, we all don't have the same amount of faith. Because of who we are, He has given gifts, spiritual gifts, for what you can handle, for what you can do. And I have seen people who have the wisdom and the knowledge, but they don't utilize it. You know, they have the faith, but yet they're scared to use it. You know, they're scared to talk to somebody. And we can't do that. We've got to make sure that we are using the gifts that God has given us to the fullest, to the common good for God's body here at Colbert. Continue on with verses, the end of verse 9, 10, and 11. To other gifts of healing by the one Spirit. We do not have today the ability to heal somebody physically. But we do have the ability to heal somebody who has spiritual problems, emotional problems, okay? So this healing can go in different avenues that we can, as Christians today, use. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. We today do not have the ability that the apostles did to prophesy or do miracles to distinguish spirits, to speak in tongues, or to interpretation of tongues. Okay? That was something that abilities that they had then that we don't today. But the same thing is these powers that we have that has been given to us by the Spirit, He gives them to each one as He wills. So we don't have the same powers again. But we need to take the powers that the Spirit has given us and make sure that we are using them for God, for His service. Verse 12. Now Paul is going to talk to us about our physical bodies, going back to the first slides that we had this morning. For just as the body is one and has many members, okay? Now, I don't know exactly how many members we have, but we do have a circulatory system. I'm sorry, ladies, if this brings up a lot of studies that you've done in the past. We have a respiratory system, digestive system, a urinary system, a nervous system, muscular system, and a skeletal system that makes up who we are physically, okay? And I don't know when it talks about we have many members, how many members we have. Are they talking about just our physical portion, you know, the internal, external? We have toes and knees and elbows and hair and, you know, eyebrows and everything else that makes up who we are, our DNA and our fingerprints and everything, okay? So all these members make us one. Of course, Paul, over 2,000 years ago, didn't know about these seven systems, did he? He didn't know what made him up, made us up. But he did know that all of our members make our body, just like all of our members here, make up our body here in Colbert. Going back to verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We are many bodies that are different. We look different. We act different. We have different gifts that the Spirit has given us. But all of our different bodies make the one body here that worships for Jesus. Verse 13, for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, Americans, Canadians, English, Spanish, Italian, Russian, Indian, Chinese, all the Christians that do God's will, that follow His scriptures, we are all one body. And that is the body of Christ. Whether they are slaves or whether they are free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, the part of the Trinity. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that we are that one body. Even though we're different, even though we have different capabilities, even though we have different gifts that was given to us by the Spirit, we need to make sure that we remember that we are the same. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to worship in other congregations. We have, and I don't even want to try to count how many we've been into. We've also went to a church, I've left this before, in Europe. And it was awesome. We were a family. And we've had to depend on our family in different places to help us. We broke down one time in a panhandle of Texas, called our family there. And they helped us. Whenever we moved, we'd get a hold of the Amen representative there, the American Men Evangelizing Nations. And we moved to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for the first time we'd ever moved. Contacted the Amen there, which was an elder at the church, and he let us stay in his house. Total strangers. But we're family. And the family helped us to find a place there to stay. especially when we went to Iceland. You know, Brother Acock helped us get everything straightened out. We landed there on a Wednesday. He was flying out. We walked in and met him, handed me his keys. He said, your Jeep will be here in 2 weeks. I'm going to be gone. Use my car. We're family. We take care of each other. Even though we're totally different, might not even speak the same language, we are one family. And we need to remember that as Christians. We need to depend on our family. That's what Paul is talking about here in this chapter. And that's how God planned it. We're not robots. We're not all the same. We are different. We complement each other. We help each other. And that's what we need to remember. That's what Paul is telling us to remember. Next week, we'll get into these different gifts. And hopefully, it will help you to realize the gifts that God has given you and how you can use them to further His word. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, please let us know. Please let us pray for you. Let us encourage you. Let us, you know, pray for anything that you need to. That's what we're here for. That's what a family does for each other. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please let us know as together we stand and sing.